Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Every evening of the church, in the church cycle of services, we hear at Vespers Psalm 140, which begins with the words, "Lord, I have cried unto thee, hearken unto me, attend to the voice of my supplication. When I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set forth as incense before thee, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." This hymn obviously has a great deal of importance because we hear it every day. And yet, as we listen to the rest of the psalm, and there's actually four other psalms that are part of all the verses that we hear after we hear the singing of those opening verses, they say a number of things, and St. John Chrysostom notes in his commentary on this that nobody ever asked him what these psalms mean, even though the meaning is not obvious. And so today, I'm going to talk about just the next verse, but I will come back to the rest of the psalm piece by piece so we can talk about the meaning of this since we hear it so often. And then when we hear the words of Scripture, it's good that we make an effort to try to understand them as best as we can. But these opening words which we sing are followed by the very first verse, "Set, O Lord, a watch before my mouth, and a door of enclosure round about my lips." Now you might ask, what has that verse got to do with the verses that we just read? Because the verses that we just read or that we sing every day, we talk about our prayer to God, and we're asking that our prayer would be set forth as incense before God, that it would rise as the incense rises to God, and that the lifting up of our hands in prayer would be acceptable to God as the evening sacrifice in the temple. And so we're asking that God would accept our prayer, that he would hear what we're praying to him. And then we have this word, this line that immediately follows that, "Set, O Lord, a watch before my mouth and a door of enclosure round about my lips." What's the connection? Well, the connection is that if we don't set a watch before our mouth and a door of enclosure round about our lips, our prayer will not be acceptable to God. There are a great many passages of Scripture that talk about the need for us to guard our speech, to watch what we say. Psalm 49, it would be Psalm 50 in the King James or any Bible that wasn't an Orthodox Bible, says this, "But unto the sinner God hath said, Why declarest thou my statutes and takest up my covenant in thy mouth?" In other words, why are you talking about the law of God and talking about the covenant? It says, "Thou hast hated instruction and hast cast my word behind thee. You haven't listened to anything I've said. You've disregarded what I told you. If thou sawest a thief, thou didst run with him, and with the adulterer thou hast set thy portion." So you're quick to run to join in with the evil that you see people do. And up to that point, we might all say, well, that doesn't apply to me. That's talking about all those other people. I hope they're listening to this. That says, "Thy mouth hath abounded with evil, and thy tongue hath woven deceits. Thou didst sit down and speak against thy brother, and against thine own mother's son didst thou lay a stumbling block. These things thou didst, and I kept silence." And it goes on to talk about the judgment that God will pour out upon such people if they don't repent. But when it says, "I kept silence," God, what the fathers say is that God withholds his wrath in the face of these things, hoping that we will repent. But it talks about how we spoke against our brother, and then it repeats it, and this is the way Hebrew poetry works. It basically repeats the same thing a different way. "Against thine own mother's son didst thou lay a stumbling block." So when we speak against our brother, we are joining ourselves with all those other people that we're hoping listen to these words, to the thief, to the adulterer, because we're speaking evil. St. James has quite a bit to say about this. In the very first chapter, he says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." And then in chapter 3, he says, "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." In other words, if you're able to control your mouth, you've achieved perfection. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And for those that are not familiar with what he's referring to, that's that little piece of metal that you stick in a horse's mouth that's attached to the reins. And with that one little piece that you have in the horse's mouth, you're able to make the horse go where you want it to go. He says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. St. James is saying our tongue is a small, you would think fairly insignificant part of our bodies, and yet if we're able to control that, it's like the control that we have over a horse. It's like the control that the rudder has over a ship. And if we're able to manage that, he says that we're a perfect man. We've achieved perfection. And so most of us, we probably haven't achieved that, but we should be striving towards that. And to the extent that we haven't managed to control our tongues, that's how far we are from where we need to be spiritually. He says a great forest is set on fire by a small fire. And what the fathers say, St. Bede says, a great forest of good deeds is destroyed by a little fire of our words. In other words, we undo much of the good that we do by the things that we say. St. James goes on to say, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. When he says no man can tame the tongue, he's speaking sort of in a hyperbolic way. Obviously, it's possible, or he wouldn't be telling us that we should be doing it. But of course, the problem with the tongue is the same problem we have with eating, and that's that we can't eliminate what we eat entirely. We have to eat or we would die. And so our need to control what we eat and not be gluttonous is always a matter of balance. And the same thing holds true with our speech. We have to speak. We have to communicate. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to speak. We're commanded to testify of our faith, to share our faith. We're commanded to interact with other people in a loving way, and that requires that we speak to them. So we can't eliminate our speech, but what we have to do is we have to be on guard, because it's a very short trip from when we're speaking good to when we start falling into the temptation to speak evil. It's a very subtle temptation we fall in, because we like to be the person who knows what's going on. We like to share news that's interesting with other people, and so it's very easy for us to fall into speaking evil of other people in a totally unnecessary way. A lot of times we'll excuse ourselves and try to say, well, they needed to know that. But if we step back for a moment and we think about it, more often than not, the things that we share that are detrimental to our brothers and sisters are things that most other people don't need to know, and we're simply fooling ourselves. And that gets into another verse, which I'll talk about in more detail, from the psalm that we sing at Vespers, about making excuse with excuses and sins. That's what we tend to do, is we tend to excuse ourselves and say, oh, there was a reason why I did that, or I'm doing that for some good purpose. But it would be better for us to keep our mouths shut and to speak with great hesitation than for us to fall into this temptation, because maybe we're not sure whether we should say something or not. And we somehow convince ourselves, well, maybe I should tell this person that. Well, if you should, but you're not, if you think you might need to tell somebody something, take some time. The news that you have will wait. Pray about it and allow yourself some time to reflect whether that's really something that you need to say. And of course, one of the great measures that we can use with all our behavior, and particularly when it comes to what we say about those around us, and that's to apply the golden rule, which is to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And ask yourself, if the shoe was on the other foot, if I was that person, and someone was to ask me, should this information be shared, how would I feel about that? Would I think that that was a justifiable passing on of information, or would I have the contrary opinion? He says, a spring doesn't yield both bitter water and fresh. And the fact of the matter is, we seem, when we bless God and then when we gossip about our brother, we may seem as if we're producing both good and evil from our mouths, but the reality is that if we have that kind of hatred for our brother and we fall into gossip, the good things that we say are not really sincere because they're not coming from a pure heart. They're not coming from the right attitude. And so it's either going to be one or the other. Either we're going to be producing fresh water or we're going to be producing bitter water with our mouth. And so we need to take time and reflect, which is the case with us. We can't bless God rightly and bless other people when we wrongly curse. We can't expect God to accept the prayer of our lips when our lips speak evil. We have to learn to bridle the tongue and make it the servant of righteousness rather than the snare that leads us to sin.